Welcome to Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent. To listen to past episodes of Indie Audio and of the podcast Indestructible, go to independent.org. That's independent.org. If you like what you hear, please help support The Independent by going to our webpage and donating or becoming a subscriber.
Do I look at you? Do I look at camera?
Are we ready?
Hey. I know we're not speeding yet.
No, we are.
Are we?
Being a part of the Fab Five, what was the question again? Is just bizarre.
It's a dream. I really hope I don't let you down.
This is amazing.
I'm a little nervous because I don't know what to expect.
I'm so honored to be here right now.
Being part of this makes me so happy.
Everything's gonna end with that.
Yeah.
In this episode, we read Queer Eye, Making Over America's Backward Culture, written by Peter Rue, as published in the March issue of The Independent. Early on in this Netflix reality reboot, we're told that the first Queer Eye was about tolerance. This new series is about acceptance. Not that the early aughts original, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, wasn't a bit of a television coup in its day. For those unfamiliar with its premise, in each episode, a team of trendy experts known as the Fab Five run to the rescue of a living, breathing fashion emergency. By the end, credits their straight subject is looking good and feeling confident. Shallow as it was, the show suggested that straight America might actually have something to learn from some of the people it has marginalized. However, as critics pointed out at the time, making straight people handsome and self-assured shouldn't be a prerequisite for their tolerance. The revamp bypasses this sticking point by dropping the "for the straight guy" bit of the title. Though, with one notable exception, the new cast continue to focus their primping and grooming on the straight men among us. Nonetheless, it is fascinating to watch how the new Queer Eye uses its makeover premise to confront cultural divides growing further than the original ever did. Literally. This Queer Eye is set in Atlanta and surrounding rural and suburban Georgia, whereas the original was based primarily in Manhattan. In episode 3, Degadon, the Fab Five are pulled over by a police squad car on a backcountry road. Karamo Brown, the show's cultural expert, who is black, is visibly shaken. We eventually discover that the officer who stopped the group is playing a prank on them. He's a buddy of the Fab Five's makeover target, Corey. Later, Brown has a heart-to-heart with Corey, also a cop, not to mention a Trump supporter. Brown tells him he didn't think the prank was very funny, given the threat of violence people of color, and he might have added queer people, face from law enforcement in this country. The conversation winds up being rather circular, but maybe that is to be expected. Two strangers from entirely different backgrounds aren't going to magically see eye to eye, no matter how good one makes the other look. Another notable example of Queer Eye confronting cultural divisions comes while the show's design expert, Bobby Burke, helps a conservative Christian makeover target, Bobby Camp, set up a garden in his backyard. While the pair plant kale together, Burke tells Camp of the shame and isolation he felt as a gay youth raised in an evangelical church setting. Evidently, Camp takes note. Open quote, "Growing up the way we did," close quote, Cam tells the Fab Five at the end of the episode. Open quote, "Homosexuals were not accepted, and they still aren't in a lot of church environments. But in the Camp family, they are, and in our hearts, they are," close quote. One cultural schism the show mostly papers over, however, is class. Bobby Camp has 6 children and is trying to hold down 2 jobs. His wife also works full-time. Is it any wonder, then, that he doesn't have a lot of time to spend perfecting his image? The Fab Five make concessions for his case, taking him shopping at Target, for instance, instead of one of the more high-end shops that typically drag their makeoverees to. But it's hard to imagine Camp returning to get the $100 haircut he received during the taping of the episode. This is a flaw that ran through the original Queer Eye, and is present in much of the self-help industry. The idea that anyone can look and feel good, all it takes is for you to go out and spend a few thousand dollars on yourself. That equation leaves much of the general population out of the mix. Inversely, numerous examples of people who wear the most stylish of clothes live in the glossiest of homes and also happen to be deeply miserable abound. The show pays lip service to the idea that how you look isn't as important as what's inside, emphasizing that the makeovers the 5-5 perform are about building self-confidence. But where the show is strongest is when it explores another circle, another crucial element of happiness, community. When Anthony, the straightest gay guy in Atlanta, comes out to his stepmother in episode 4, the stakes couldn't be higher. It isn't just about Anthony being comfortable in his own skin, though the Fab Five help with that. Anthony risks losing the connection he has to the person he loves most in order to show her who he truly is. His friends and his boyfriend are close by in case his coming out goes south, providing a kind of communal bedrock for Anthony's courageous honesty. The Fab Five themselves are out and open and have an infectious amount of fun turning around the lives they enter into. But Anthony's story illustrates how far we still have to go as a culture in 2018. After acceptance comes solidarity. Next, liberation.
The original show was fighting for tolerance. Our fight is for acceptance.
My goal is to figure out how we're similar as opposed to how different we are.
We all got to come together in a way where we can understand each other.
Guys, where are we going?
Georgia.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
That was the Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent, produced by Elia Graham.